is digging in. He leads by 3/4 of a length. Japan there in the centre, and on the outside is Enable. There's a half furlong to go. Gayath has the rail to help. He still leads by a length and a half. Enable is running out of time, and it's Gayath who's going to take the Coral Eclipse. Gayath has won the Eclipse. Tight second between Enable and Japan, followed in fourth by Magic Bomb.
Oh, it was a dominant win by Gayath, winning at the Coral Eclipse Stakes overnight. For fans of Enable, she was beaten, but not disgraced. She is back looking for another win in the arc, but all at the honours went with Gayath leading throughout to win. And it's great to catch up once again with Lee Monashead from the Racing Post, our correspondent over there, who's had a huge weekend. The Coral Eclipse on Sunday and the Derby and the Oaks on Saturday, and some very surprise results. Good morning, our time to you. Lee, what a weekend of racing.
Yeah, it was stupendous. You know, from Saturday to Sunday, great racing everywhere you look. We had the first ever July Derby, first on the Derby on the same day. And then we had, as you say, Enable, probably the highest profile horse in the racing world, making a secured reappearance. And as you say, he was beaten. But certainly wasn't disgraced, you say, as well. And I think going into it, there's always a concern with a six-year-old. You know, we were there with wins beforehand. As they get older, will they produce? Will they still want it? Will they still want to? Will they still have the ability? John Gorton was saying after that hadn't been really his concern, more the fact that as she's got older, she just needed more work to get fit and to get the weight off. Very open beforehand in a TV interview a few weeks before the race. He was describing he was 85% ready. He was adamant she'd come on for it, and he was also adamant that the race and the race course are perfect for Gayath. He's a proper front runner, loves bowling along. He's very effective racing that way, and Sandown's a race course that's made for horses to do that. So I think John Lee rated a race fit guy who's on the Coral Eclipse Cup not long ago, and then a non-race fit Enable, it was always going to go likely in one direction, and it did. But John described Enable's run as gorgeous, delighted, and although it seems rude to describe a race like the Coral Eclipse as a means to an end, I think that's what it was for Enable. Everything, again this year, for her about the first Sunday in October in Paris. So work back from there. It'll be the King George next, the end of this month, and Darren, but as John's interviewed before that race, he won't be saying 85%, but it's much closer to 100.
Well, let's hear a little bit about what John had to say on Enable's run after the race.
So I was very happy with the run, and there's no doubt it's a deep sense of relief, because it was never really the intention to keep her in training at six. We all went far too hard in deep testing ground at Longchamp, chasing Gayath. And he set sail in the false straight, which is a no-no tactically. We all moved with Sotsas. A lot of us moved at the cutaway. And we all went too hard too soon. And we just walked the last 200 metres and full marks to the winner who came by us from off the pace. So that is why she's still in training, because we got the tactics wrong that day. So hopefully we go now. We have a nice platform, like I said in the press, to go to the King George.
I could listen to John Gosden all day long, couldn't you? Does that mean we'll get to see a return bout between Gayath and Enable in the King George?
I'm not sure that we will, Michael. Charlie Appleby was asked about the King George afterwards, and I think he's probably inclined to wait for York and the Jaguar International in mid-August. I think traditionally they felt that Gayath takes a lot out of himself in his races. Although this year they see him as more the complete horse, one who can take those hard contests better than he could before. I think off the back of a Coronation Cup and now a Coral Eclipse, but they'll probably try and keep their powder dry until the International at York. York, again, like Sandown, is a racehorse. It's offered perfectly set up for front runners. We could see Enable take him on there. That race is sponsored by Kyle Abdullah's Judmont Farms. Traditionally, when Enable has gone to that meeting, she's running the Yorkshire Oaks over a mile and a half, an easier contest on the way to the arc. And they might go that way again, but equally, they might be tempted, as this definitely, I'm sure, will be enabled, I see, to have a crack at the Prince's Race International. But they'll definitely meet again at some point, even if it's not until the arc, because as with Enable, for Charlie Appleby and Godolphin, that is the ultimate target for Gareth this year. He ran a poor thing last year on ground that didn't suit many horses, but he'll be back there again in October.
It's going to be fascinating. And a great day for Charlie Appleby. There's some lovely vision of him going home to the family singing happy birthday after he was knocking off a neighbour with Gareth in the Coral Eclipse. That was just a few hours ago, Australian time. The day before, we had the double, the Epsom Derby and also the Oaks. And in the Derby, it was a stunning result and a stunning upset.
Serpentine still by 8 to 10 lengths over Khalifa Sat, Oran Navir Mogul and Cameco, and Serpentine is not stopping. He's made it all. He's out clear all the way. It's 6 or 7 lengths still, and Serpentine for a remarkable win in the Investec Derby. Khalifa Sat may be second. Oran Navir and English King running on third and fourth.
Well, I don't think anyone could believe what they were seeing when Serpentine continued to win by 5.5 lengths with Emmett McNamara in the saddle. Aidan O'Brien, 6 runners. He was the outsider at 25-1. Now, Lee, did the jockeys on the favourites get it wrong, or was this just a phenomenal performance by the leader and winner?
Well, there is the question, isn't it? And I think it was the immediate thing that those of us that were lucky enough to be at Epsom on Saturday were left immediately thinking. It was always going to be the strangest of Derby days, to say, behind closed doors, a month late, hardly anybody on the downs. But it had a race as strange as the occasion. Because, as you say, we were all left thinking, what were those 15 jockeys behind Emmett McNamara doing? In some ways, it's very tricky, because Aidan O'Brien traditionally now runs 4, 5, 6, 7 horses in the Derby. And I think going into it, you look at them and you try and identify which of those horses are ones with realistic chances of winning the Derby and which are the ones that are likely to be there to force a pace with Aidan. Does like his races run at true end-to-end gallops. I think to an extent the jockeys in behind probably felt that Serpentine, a 25-1 shot whose jockey was very anxious to get to the lead straight away, might well have been a pacemaker and might well have come back to them. But he didn't do that. And I think that's partly because Emmett McNamara was able to get to the front on Serpentine and then to the pace that wasn't overly strong. It wasn't a dawdle by any means, but it certainly wasn't a furious flat-out gallop. And anyone who's been to it and knows the contours of the track will know that from around the 1,200-metre point, they descend quite deeply downhill to Tattenham Corner. And if you can get your horse rolling and nick a few lengths, you can be quite hard to pay back. So that turning for home, everybody else in the race had a mountain to climb. And I think all those in that peloton who were chasing in behind, they were probably all talking to each other saying, well, are you going to go? Are you going to go? Are you going to go? And I think none of them wanted to sacrifice their own chance by going hard after Serpentine. And in the end, none of them really did. And although Serpentine's final furlong was amongst the slowest of any of the horses in the race, by that point, the bird had flown. And it was just the strangest, the oddest Derby I think I've seen. And also odd, because even I think over here, most ardent, passionate racing fans, if you'd said to them before the previous Saturday when Serpentine won his maiden at the Curra, who is Serpentine, they would have said, we've never heard of the horse. So a horse that a week ago we've never heard of has now won the Derby, which seems daft, but it's Aidan O'Brien, so anything can happen. The jockey Emma McNamara, whose own story is amazing. He hadn't won the winner since October, but he's one of Aidan's backroom boys who rides all the horses at home, does a great job there and gets his chances in these big races. He was in the Aidan and said, look, you run a Galileo, the horse will stay the distance, so Dan was second in the Oaks. If you get your fractions right, this is a horse who could win the Derby. And you were saying that, because Aidan told you the sky is green, you'd probably believe him. And they were all right, and they won the Derby. Probably not with the horse that Coolmore, the lads that Aidan thought they would win the Derby with, but they won it. And it meant that Aidan's now won 8 Derbies, which is more than any trainer in the history of a race that was first won in 1780, which in itself is pretty remarkable. Mm.
Incredible training performance, and the favourites were nowhere to be seen. Khalifa Sat a 50-1 shot, who was ironically ridden by Tom Marquardt, who got jockeyed off the favourite, finished second at 50-1. The 66-1 shot ran third. So, unbelievable finish. And for Aidan O'Brien, the day got even better after that win, because he also won at the Oaks. To win the Oaks and the Derby on the same day, quite remarkable. But it is Aidan O'Brien.
Down the camber towards the inside running rail. Laughly, 1,000 guineas winner. She's well clear. She's gone six or seven lengths clear of any time in his second. No impression from Frankly Darling. And Love comes right away, galloping clear in tremendous style to win the Oaks. Love and Ryan Moore. Any time is second to 1-2 for Aidan O'Brien. Frankly Darling.
Aidan O'Brien's had some really nice fillies and mares in recent years. How good is Love?
I think she's exceptional. I mean, so much so that she actually now heads Enable in the betting for the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe in October. There was always a fair chance that she would improve from the mile of the 1,000 guineas that she won a few weeks ago to the mile and a half of the Oaks. That's what the breeding suggested she would do. But I think she took the breath away in the way she won the race, much of which was actually very similar to the Derby, in the sense that two horses went miles out in front, one of them, like Serpentine, a Ballydoll trained outsider called Passion. But those two horses came back to the field at the top of the home straight. Frankly Darling, who'd been the big market rival to Love, never really handled the track and never really mounted a challenge. But Love came there going ever so powerfully and just galloped right away from them, producing a stunning turn of foot to go clear. And she did look a filly of the highest order. I know on after this, the Oaks was a better winning performance than the Derby, which is something you very rarely see. And I think, again, as a three-year-old filly with the age and the sex allowance, she would be a potent threat to Enable in the Oaks. Three-year-old filly traditionally got a very good record in the race. And I think of all the horses in Ballydoyle at the moment, she is the number one.
Gee whiz, what a weekend for the O'Brien family, because Donica O'Brien got involved in the action with the French Classics overnight as well.
Well, that's absolutely right, yeah. Donica, this is, I mean, again, in a strange weekend, this is a strange story, because Donica O'Brien was not a trainer until this year. At the age of 21, he's taken out his licence, like his brother Joseph, and like his brother Joseph, of course, is a Melbourne Cup winning trainer, Donica is now a classic winning trainer. He's made a fantastic start to his career. Admittedly, he's been given an amazing opportunity with all these Coolmore blue bloods in his yard. How many first season trainers would love to have that? But he's not messing it up at all. And Fancy Blue won in the Prix de Anne, the French Oaks, just the Alpine Star and Peaceful of Ballydoyle, trained Freddie Fanaris 1-2-3. Donica wasn't there. He was watching the bottom because at the minute there are these travel problems which will impact the Derby winning jockey, Emmett McNamara, when he goes back to Ireland. He has to spend 14 days in quarantine. He said he won't mind 14 months if he won the Derby. But it'll also impact Shaney Heffernan, who took part in that race and the French Derby, in which he finished world beaten behind the John Gosden trained Mishriff. But in that race, the French Derby, Shaney was suspended for 22 days for overuse of the whip on his mount, Order of Australia, for Aidan O'Brien. And because he already has to spend 14 days in quarantine when he gets back to Ireland, which he has to serve before this ban starts, he'll end up being out until well into August. So for a guy who only won the Irish Derby a few weeks ago, and was challenging for the Irish Jockey Championship, he will now have to cope a big chunk of the summer. So in what was a massive weekend for the O'Brien family and for Ballydoyle, for Aidan, for Donica, etc., one member of the team had a particularly bad weekend.
Phenomenal weekend of racing all over Europe. Lee, appreciate as always you giving us a full roundup, and we'll continue to be in contact as we count down the remainders of the big races in Europe during your summer.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Michael.